Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. And this has become the anthem of the barn. What's going on, dude?
I saw your post in your truck.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just wanted to get jacked up.
You looked very motivated.
We're going to have some fun today because the media is pooping on Nick Saban, and that is awesome.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked because this is not the first time he's spoken out about something, but I don't know if people are like, all right, you said your piece when you first got out of coaching.
This was the last straw.
Yeah, it was like, you got to let it go, coach. Like, you know, it was one thing when you were doing it on game day and you were just kind of teasing what you could do. And now that you've had the, listen, he caught flack for having the meeting with Trump and, you know, he caught flack for that. And now he's testifying in front of Congress, you know, and saying what you should and shouldn't be able to do, whether it's NIL, whether it's recruiting, whatever.
It's mostly, let's talk, the money thing is what everybody's talking about, though. They're not talking about the transfer portal. They're talking about money. And he doesn't like it now that other teams can buy players. And it's bothering. It's really bothering him. It's ruining the game, Ben. It's absolutely ruining the game. Yeah. And the media has had enough, and rightfully so. They are calling him every name in the book, from mostly hypocrite, and not letting up. Like, they are giving him the business. And I'm going to be honest, I love it, but it's like, guys, where were you when this was actually happening at Alabama?
And I mean, Alabama and other coaches that have spoken out, that got out of it. I mean, let's call it what it was. Thank goodness somebody like Coach Krzyzewski hadn't gone up there and spoken yet. Cause I mean, Duke did it too, in the basketball world. North Carolina did it too in the basketball world. But Nick is one of those people that, listen, he's always been a good coach. From a coaching standpoint, totally respect Nick Saban. He's a great coach. But him leaving LSU and going to Miami to coach the Dolphins and then getting on a flight in the middle of the night and going to Tuscaloosa and arriving there, and then, yeah, a little down year that first year, but then completely turning around. I'm sorry, you didn't do that without – you may not have been cutting the checks. You may not have been dropping the bag. You can't tell me the way he runs and his program, and as a control freak as he is, he didn't know what was going on under the watchful eye of Nick Saban and the University of Alabama when they were bringing players in.
And another thing that bothers me about Saban, and honestly, I do respect him. And if he was like commissioner of college football, I probably would think that's awesome.
Yeah. But,
you know, honestly, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. But like, a great example, when Shane Gillis was on game day, I think they were in Notre Dame. Were they at Notre Dame or something like that? And
yeah. Yeah,
and Shane made like essentially this kind of comment, you know, about, you know, oh yeah, we never played players before, you know, kind of thing. And he said, oh man, Alabama Jones, Indiana Jones, because he had the hat on, didn't like that one. And then supposedly after that set was over, Nick went and like confronted him and like ripped him apart, like talking about how that's bull crap and, you know, we ran the program the right way and all this kind of stuff. And he's been doing this. And it's like, guys, like, do you really think that we're that dumb? Like, yeah. I uploaded, hold on. I'm going to, you talk. Like, do you really think we're that dumb? I got a picture I want to show you.
So here's the thing. As I told somebody, Alabama fan friend of mine, you know, when he's kind of taken up for Nick, and I told him, I said, dude, Reuben Foster was at Auburn High and had an Auburn University tattoo on his arm, was committed to Auburn, was going.
Yeah, we were paying him.
We were paying him. And the check got bigger from the other side of the state.
Exactly.
So
like, let's not.
He went and played for Alabama with an AU tattooed on his friggin' forearm. Like, I'm telling you, that didn't come about because he had a change of heart.
Somebody posted this. It's like all Alabama players and their BMWs, their Corvettes. I mean, the Dodge Charger became synonymous with Alabama paying players.
The Dodge Charger became a running joke. Yes. Because every player got one that was good. They were driving a dot, and they were like, well, that's just the culture. No, that's just what they're dealing with, Townsend, Chrysler, Dodge, Ford over in Tuscaloosa.
See, people called me crazy when I said I thought NIL was a good idea, and it's going to level the playing field. And most people are like, no, the rich are just going to keep getting richer. I'm like, no, it's not. Because, and that's proven to be right, the reason is because a lot of schools have money.
Yeah. Like,
a lot of these schools have money, but they don't have the dedicated network, cutthroat, behind the scenes. I can tell you a story. And, hey, I tell you what, if you want to disprove it, let's disprove it.
Yeah.
But I know that he walked. I know that when Nick Saban was when Nick Saban was hired, he walked into a Red Elephant Club in somewhere in Baldwin County, okay? And he asked, what does Julio Jones' parents do for a living? And they told him, and it was something obviously not very glamorous. And he said, they better not be doing that when I come back next time. And then, like, if the local Red Elephant Club, if they miss out on a recruit that they're supposed to, you know, quote unquote, help get, he just doesn't come visit that Red Elephant Club like for a year or two. Like, that's common knowledge. Like, everybody knows that stuff. And here's the thing, I have been envious of that. Like, yes. that's doing.
You and I have said before, we've said, why are we not doing this?
I don't have my head in the sand and pretend that nobody cheated in college football. And the only way you could cheat, I don't like. That's why I always turn my nose up, or I just kind of shook my head when people are like, well, Bama, you know, they cheated. They bought him. I'm like, well, dadgummit, when are we going to do it? Like, why can't Auburn do that too? Like, it's not like Alabama's not doing it. And all the schools that were succeeding, you know, USC and all those guys, the difference between some of those bigger programs and the smaller programs is simply the network. The behind-the-scenes, passionate network in Alabama had the best one. And guess what? It's not an advantage anymore.
No, because...
And he can't stand it.
So you and I were talking about, and thank goodness they haven't woken up and decided to do something like this. So we talked about this past weekend with the teams that came in town, UCF. They got 57,000 undergrads. Yeah. If all those people become alums and give $25 a month, Kyle, do you know what kind of money that brings in?
Sure, I mean, but that's never going to happen. But
I'm saying, like, when you talked about even in the playing field, you got, like, the University of Florida's got way more students, so they're going to have way more alums than, say, Alabama does. Alabama just had the Red Elephant Club. Now that you can pay players and they can go and they can ask these people for money, like, it's going to even the playing field because you can do it overtly instead of having your, quote-unquote, hidden network, like the Machine. That's another one that's Alabama. Like, it's the Machine that, you know, my sister, who's an Alabama undergrad, has told me about. So,
yeah,
you know, other places have that. They just they weren't passionate about competing. But now when you've got Indiana winning national titles, like, it is.
And I can write it off now as advertising, and I'm not just dropping a bag of cash that's just, you just set on fire. Heck yeah, man. And there's an avenue for it.
Yes.
I've been wanting to do this. I just didn't know how to do it. And now it's super easy. Like, and you get a team like Indiana who everybody thinks they just, it was like, there's Little Giants where they just had a bunch of bums and out coached everybody. No, they spent a ton of money.
Yes.
In the portal. They're spending a ton of money everywhere. I think I read where their operation of staff plus roster last year was like $60 million.
Yeah.
So, like, Indiana ain't supposed to go 15 or 16-0. Like, that ain't supposed to happen. That shakes up the system a little bit.
And
I can understand the disdain when, hey, now my toy's gone. Like, they took my toy away. I had it like I liked it. And now I'm retiring. It made me want to retire, and now I'm trying to go fix it.
Yeah,
I just it's so obvious.
It is. It's obvious because, and listen, that's why a lot of coaches, do you remember the movie, The Program, that came out, the football
Yeah,
movie?
I do. I tried to watch that the other day. Yeah.
So if you watch that and then you watch the basketball version of it, it's called Blue Chips. Nick Nolte is in there. Shaquille O'Neal's in there. Penny Hardaway's in there. And if you watch those two movies, that's the way sports was done in the 90s. Like those yes. movies, when they got done, there's a ton of collegiate coaches that were like, you shouldn't have this out. You know why they didn't want it out?
Because it was real life. It was
telling everybody what was really going on inside of college athletics behind the scenes outside of Saturday afternoon inside of a stadium. And, I mean, Nolte on the movie Blue Chips, I mean, that's all he did was stay on the phone with boosters trying to get money to get Shaquille. He didn't play the part of Shaquille O'Neal, but stayed on trying to talk to boosters. He didn't coach nothing. He made no coaching calls in that movie except to boosters to get the best players in.
And Auburn did it too. Like, yeah. Let's not pretend Auburn just didn't quite have the organization that some of these other teams. That's why Auburn could have, like, they could throw something together and have like one, you know, big run of success. And then it was a little bit tougher to maintain it.
Who do you think gathered up that flight to Louisville for Bobby Petrino? It was not the Auburn athletic director nor the Auburn athletic department.
Well, he was on the plane.
He was on the plane because he was told to have his ass on the plane. That's why it was on the plane. Yeah. And so, you know, when people are like, you know, they act like they're holier than thou, I'm like, everybody did it. Spurrier's talked about it. He said that was one of his biggest challenges when he went to South Carolina, because at Florida, he had bottomless pockets that he could talk to. He didn't have that at South Carolina.
Now, I will say this. I will say this. It has changed the dollar amounts. There's no doubt about that. Because, like, you know, the TJ Yeldons of the world, who it's like, you know, $100,000 to go flip a TJ Yeldon. Or I can remember Curtis Perry, you know, from I think it was Pike Road or somewhere in Montgomery. Like, that one was a late night bag drop. Or Tony Mitchell. From I remember Tony Mitchell played at what's the school, Thompson, and Jason Caldwell was on the way to his commitment because he was going to commit to Auburn.
Yeah,
and the bag was dropped. That's where that coin phrase came from, dropping the bag, because you drop the bag of cash on the front step. On signing day, and that's how and you left, and that's how that whole phrase was coined. I love that they're giving it to him and calling it out. There definitely needs to be some regulation, but NIL and its, the, you know, all its warts has 1,000,000% leveled the playing field.
Oh, it's leveled it, and like you said, again, the more money. I mean, you look at SMU when they got the death penalty. Tony Dorsett got a Trans Am. That's all he got. And they got, and that, and then, like you were just talking about, $100,000 to flip. Not a
Tony
guy.
Tony Dorsett. It was, I can't, maybe it was Tony Dorsett. I can't think of his name.
And so,
anyway, keep going.
But, you know, you look back at the 80s. Tony Dorsett. You look back at the 80s and something like that happening. No. What are you
it's
doing?
It's not Tony Dorsett. He was at Pitt.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, keep going.
But you look back at the 80s and how that was happening, and then, you know, and then
Dickerson.
That's right, Eric Dickerson. And then it gradually escalated, and then it got to the bag drop like you're talking about. And listen, that's what made it famous, the Tennessee and the McDonald's bags. I mean, legit, they had physical friggin' evidence. It was McDonald's bags they were dropping it in. And like you said, you went, you dropped the bag, and you left. You had to, quote-unquote, bag man.
Like, Bagman.
It was a term that everybody thinks you're using it tongue in cheek. It's like, you didn't realize that really exists.
Oh,
like
it was 100% existed.
Yeah, like I know we're making fun of it, you know, even at the time, but that, like, legit. And now, dude, NIL, now it's digital, man. I'll just wire you the money. It can be in your account tomorrow.
Dude. Oh, yeah, exactly. And if it's, who cares if it's traceable, because it's legal.
Exactly. They're like, hey, you paid this guy $1 million. It's like, actually, we paid him 1.2. You just only saw the million part. I mean,
exactly.
It's one of those deals. So I know he's catching flack, and some people feel bad for him. But
I don't.
For him to sit up there and act like it was not done on his watch, regardless if he physically did it or didn't do it, I mean, you and I have, there's a certain golf course in the state we've played at, and there are Red Elephant Club members in there, and they're having discussions about football and basketball and golf around a round table, you know, inside that particular facility. So for people to act like he's innocent, the Alabama fans are the only ones acting like that, and for the media to finally call it out, I'm fine with it. And again,
legend on Feinbaum called him out.
Yes,
which, I did see that. Did you see that video?
I did see that.
Legend is the one. Legend called Nick Saban a hypocrite, and that's if you listen to Feinbaum, he's like a famous Alabama. I say famous, infamous, or whatever. Alabama fan caller on the Feinbaum show, yeah. And he's you're a hypocrite, dude. That's what he said. You're a hypocrite, dude. No, it's
you sound a lot like him, honestly.
That's a pretty good impression, I think.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about golf, man. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about golf.
Oh, I'd be more than happy to talk about golf.
National.
You'll hit some ads first.
We'll do ads at the end.
Okay.
We got a national dadgum championship again in the books for Coach Nick Kleinard. Unbelievable. Second in 3 years.
That's awesome.
They pretty much dominated the match play. Like, yeah. There wasn't anything – it was never really in doubt. Like, any of them were really ever in doubt.
There was a momentum switch at the turn because a couple of guys got back points for UCLA, but they still were behind. I mean, I think the worst it ever got was 3-1-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And other than that, it stayed like
– I don't know that we had a match go to the 18th hole.
The closing one was the 18th hole. That was the par five.
I'm wrong. The clinching point finished on 18. You're right.
That's the only match that made it, though.
He completed 18.
Yes.
Because Jackson's was called against Oklahoma State before, like, it was clinched before we actually before we actually finished that hole. So, I mean, it was complete domination from, like, start to finish. Stroke play, you dominated in stroke play, won by, you know, three or four shots.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you walk through match play, which Auburn is, you know, at least the last 2 years, 2024 or 2025 and 2026, you've had some issues in match play, and then you just come in here and you just dominate. And two of those guys are freshmen.
Yeah, that's –
and a sophomore.
You've got more of them, and, you know, you got one that was a red shirt and then some injuries plagued him, and Billy Davis that's sitting over there in the wings. I mean, he was the freaking California player of the year his senior year in high school, and he didn't even see the field this year. So you got that coming back. You got Koivin finally flexed his muscle in match play because he was catching flack. We knew he could do it. Kyle talked about it. He went 7-1 or something like that his first couple of years. And that national championship run, I think, was 7-0 during that time. And then he just had I don't know if it was the draw or lately with like SECs, he was sick. He was under the weather. So that probably affected him. But he honestly dominated his match. He could have dominated more against the number three player. If he didn't have three putts, I mean, he was three up after four against Oklahoma State. I mean, that could have gotten out of hand quick. For the number three player in the world, or number
three
player in the
world. I think it's easier for him to play a match like that than it is to play a match versus like the 600th player in the world. Oh, no, no. And the reason is because those guys, it's their Super Bowl. And then this guy, he's the number three player in the world. So like he's just going to go play his own game like he would always play to try to beat somebody.
Yeah.
He's not going to take a lot of chances, or he's not, and these other dudes are like gunning with bright eyes trying to, you know, hey, I'm trying to beat David and beat Goliath. So yeah. I think that made it easier, and he controlled that one, and then obviously he goes and dominates UCLA.
I saw this too, Kyle. I don't know if you saw this quote from Kleinert afterwards. Just like the Ryder Cup, he said, he didn't say luck out, so I'm going to give the coaching staff credit too. He said, we got the draw we wanted, both against Oklahoma State and UCLA. Like, the matchups and the players of who they wanted against who. And that doesn't necessarily is not the case every single time. So, Kleinard was very – In other words, mentally, they were ready when they teed off yesterday because they were like, great, we got every matchup we wanted. Everything that they laid out, they got exactly what they wanted.
I mean, so, UCLA, that's the thing about match play, man. UCLA got hot. They were not great in the stroke play. They got hot in match play because you can do that. And they knocked off Texas, you know, who's really, really good. But they were the number 30 team in the country. So Auburn, the number one team, knocked off the number 30 team for the national championship. Dang right, man. You caught the perfect draw from start to finish. Ben, where do we build Jackson Coivin's statue?
Man, he's got to have, and you got to, in that same breath, man, you got to talk about Kleinerd getting something too.
Kleinerd, you need to, we need two statues. We need Kleinerd and we need a Jackson Coivin statue. I don't know where we put it.
I mean, you got two championships in 3 years out of both of those guys. Not to mention, Kleinerd's got it set up with, you saw how the freshman performed. I mean, they got the friggin' winning point yesterday. Yeah. And so, to secure the title, they're all coming back. He's got a great class coming in as far as other golf. So they're going to be just doing nothing but reloading. And the thing that somebody made a good point to me, Kyle, that if you're an Auburn fan, you need to be happy about. If you look at that team yesterday and you look at the team from 2 years ago and you look at what Coivin's about to do, because I want him to stay. Kyle told me he gone. He replied to my tweet.
I don't know that for a fact.
But he's probably gone. But the one thing that I think people need to get excited about, I'm tired of hearing about all the Georgia Dogs that are in the PGA Tour. I'm ready to hear about some Auburn Tigers. And dang, I think over the next 5 to 7 years, you're going to start seeing some names pop up there. They go, well, they won the championship with Auburn back in 2026, or they won the national championship with Auburn back in 2024. And hopefully, you know, I'm not saying repeat, but in the next couple of years, there's a couple more with the horses he has in the stable. I hope he's got a couple of more guys that bring home another national title. So statue for Coivin, statue for Kleinerd. Like you said yesterday, don't put it in front of the golf facility because nobody ever sees that, but the golfers, let's find somewhere else to put it.
So there was some news that came out right before. I can't remember if it came out right before match play or right before the national championship match. I think it was honestly like right before the tournament, maybe even before the tournament started. But Chris Williams, the assistant golf coach, he's been here for quite some time. He decides he's going to come back for another year, and he's coming back after being offered the head coaching job at his alma mater, Washington. So that's led a lot of people to wonder if Coach Kleinerd, you know, maybe not like right now, but could he be, you know, potentially looking to retire soon?
Wow. I knew he came back. I didn't put two and two together to do something like that. I mean, it didn't sound like it in his voice. Now, maybe that's something that they've talked about a couple of years down the road. It's yours if you want it or something like that. I don't know. I thought you were going to go the other direction and say, with him coming back, you know, he worked closely with Coivin and he was going to be helping bring Coivin back for next year. Yeah, I said yesterday, you talk about that, though, Kyle. I said yesterday, I mentioned that name, Billy Davis. That's a name you need to look out for because in his injury and him not being able to play, a lot of times guys don't travel on things like this. And he was there traveling and was used as like a fourth coach. And I think that that's something to look at 10 years down the road that not necessarily at Auburn, but that name, Billy Davis, you're going to hear that name as being a head coach at a program somewhere because he's been doing it as – a glorified assistant as a student athlete here at Auburn. And it's going to be a natural role for him to go and be into coaching at some point if his career doesn't work out in the pro level.
Yep. He's been at Auburn for, this is his 16th season. He's been a head coach for over 25 seasons, I believe. So I don't know. It's not like he's like old or anything. Like he's got plenty of years left. Yeah. It's just interesting. I know Auburn's a special place, but daggum, that's your – and I think they got family up there too in Washington. So, but to turn it down, I don't know. There's been speculation.
Kleinerd recognized him, and he didn't throw Washington under the bus. He didn't say the school, but I did like that he recognized him during the post game comment. Yeah,
how important it was.
He said, look, he said he had an opportunity to better himself, and he decided to stay with these guys and come back.
Exactly.
And I think that's important. And I think that also says a lot, Kyle, about like the culture within the program and the type student athletes too. I mean, like you just said, if he was in the least bit unhappy, he would have bounced because it's a head coaching job.
Yeah. At your alma mater.
Yeah. So congrats to those guys. I think that's huge. Rolling of Tumors, 2:30 on Friday. And since this is a Thursday show, so you guys keep that in mind because we will have already recorded by the time Afternoon Delight drops on Friday afternoon. So 2:30. And then they got like an art walk going on. So a lot of people are going down there. So let me just give you this piece of advice. Don't park downtown. They're going to tow your car. They got a downtown event taking place Friday night after the Rolling of Tumors corner.
So that's when we're going to present the trophy.
Yeah. 2:30, big ceremony, Rolling of Tumors. Fans are invited. Cause I was wondering
if they do get that done before the baseball.
Kleiner mentioned they were jumping on a plane and coming home on Thursday.
Yeah.
But I guess they decided to get everybody involved. They're going to do it at 2:30.
Man, you could come do that and hang out and then go to the game Friday.
Yes,
night.
That's exactly what they're
if
hoping
to. If you can find a ticket, which might be tough. Maybe, hopefully you already have a ticket because I don't think they're that easy to find. StubHub? What's that?
Have you looked on StubHub?
No.
Oh, dude, it's outrageous, some of these tickets.
I bet. I mean, it's going to be a big one. What's that?
I said for a super regional. Like, how excited are people about baseball right now?
Just excited to win, man. Try. Hopefully, you can just find a winner. Auburn wants a winner so bad.
Yeah, they do. They got one.
Got one in golf.
They got one in the golf team for sure. So, congrats to those guys. That's awesome stuff. All right. So, with that said, Nick Saban also a scumbag. And then
I don't want to call him a scumbag. I just think he needs to just shut his mouth. He's not there yet.
I love it,
Ben. Love you, brother. We're out of here.
More damn Eagle.